Chapter 3. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again unto me, saith the Lord. Now, the law definitely states this fact. In the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's without doubt, it says that if a woman leaves her husband, if they get a divorce and she marries another man, he can't marry her again. That was the law. So how do we justify the fact that Israel has played the harlot and had many lovers, and God says, yet return unto me, saith the Lord? Well, the thing is that God doesn't count himself under the Mosaic rituals. Now, he's not going to break the Ten Commandments because they're the character of God. But Jesus talked about the Mosaic rituals, and he says, Moses said this and that, and he says, but I say unto you. And so we have a similar thought here, that what we see God's attitude with Israel is the way of grace and mercy. Notice verse 12. Let's drop down there just for a minute. And he says, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. So this is our God. We're not under the Mosaic rituals either. We're under the message of grace and of mercy. And God has redeemed us and bought us out of this. And so God is able to show his mercy, even though the law says something else, doesn't it? Verse 2, lift up thine eyes into high places and see where thou hast not been lain with. In every place where there is idolatry, Israel had taken part of this. This is called whoredom, called fornication. It's being untrue and unfaithful to their husband. And much of the church is unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ today by flirting with the world, flirting with materialistic things, and putting it ahead of him. And that's just exactly what Israel did. So he says, you've tried to find a place where you've not played the harlot. In thy ways thou hast set for them, as the Arabians in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredom and with thy wickedness. Therefore, the showers have been withheld, and there hath been no latter rain. This was so necessary for Israel, the former and the latter rain. Without it, they had nothing. But who gives it to them? If you want rain, then ask your God of wood and ask your God of stone if you want rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead. Now, this phrase simply means that they thought as a whore would think. This was hard words for God to give that nation, wasn't it? But a whore thinks in this way, I justify myself in what I'm doing. They have no conscience in doing of wrong. So it was with them, the fact that they were able to justify themselves in everything they did. There was no shame to them. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art my God, thou art the God of my youth, the guide of my youth. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing tonight. Will he reserve his anger forever? And the answer is that, no. Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. And God does judge these things. Don't ever think, or people should never think, that they can get by with anything with God. God knows the heart. I might be able to fool you, and you might be able to fool me, but God knows the heart of people. And so they're not going to get by with anything with them. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto me, and then he gives a time of this, in the days of Josiah the king is parenthetical. And we could leave that out and not change the meaning. The Lord said unto me, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? Now, when we read of Israel here, we're talking about the 10 tribes, the northern tribes. And they was first to go into apostasy and turn from God. In fact, they turned from God during the days of Jeroboam the first, when he split the tribes away from Rehoboam, the descendant of David. And they began to change. They began to turn around and go the other direction at that time. She is gone upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there has played the harlot. And I said, after she had done these things, turn thou unto me. Turn thou unto me. This was a cry that God made constantly through the prophets. Turn to the Lord. And no matter how bad she got, his cry was still, turn to the Lord. I don't see how legalists could even read this and not see the grace of God. He didn't, he disciplined her, but he didn't wipe her out entirely, did he? No, he couldn't do that. But she turned not. And now the two tribes and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. They should have understood what Israel did, what the ten tribes did. They was able to see it. And over again, she's called the treacherous sister, Judah is called. And I saw when, for all the causes wherein backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. The thought here of the bill of divorcement, although she went into apostasy and turned away from the Lord, then God put her away, even when he was crying unto her. And Greg, read the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy, the first three verses, and Nancy, Isaiah 50, verse 1. And here we have, we're talking about the bill of divorcement. Now, Jesus talked about Moses giving a bill of divorcement, and they asked him about that, and he said it was because of the hardness of their heart that God allowed Moses to do that. Can't remember where that is right now. But anyway, let's read these verses concerning. Anyway, read that in Deuteronomy. Now notice it was the 10 tribes that got the bill of divorcement, not the two tribes. All right, read that in Isaiah 50. See, there was no proof there of a bill of divorcement. Where is it? Well, God knows. God understands. And so he separated himself from the 10 tribes. Then they went into Assyrian captivity. I think it's seven. It was a little over 100 years before the two tribes went into Babylonian captivity. 736 or 7, somewhere in there, I believe. I don't know, does that say it on that chart when they went into captivity? During, this is 608 when they first was besieged. Well, it doesn't say when the 10 tribes went in, does it? Say with Israel. But I think it was 737, if I remember, 7 something like that. It was over 100 years. And when God separated himself from them. And yet her treacherous sister Judah, it didn't change her, did it? She kept going on the way she was. You'd think that she would be fearful when she saw what happened to the 10 tribes. Maybe it's going to happen to everybody but me attitude. And it came, verse 9, it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom. See, this was wasn't a serious thing to her at all, that she defiled the land and commit adultery with stones and with wood, with stocks. So, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah had not turned unto me with a whole heart, but feigningly or pretendingly, acting falsely. See, it wasn't real. It was just acting like they was going to. They still had the temple. They still offered sacrifices. Isaiah said their sacrifice was a stench to God, and he didn't want it. And so it was a pretended worship. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. See, self-justification is a serious thing, because they never will admit they're wrong as long as they can justify themselves. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. This does say too, when, because Hosea was the last king there, and his reign was 721, according to this, that they went into Assyrian captivity. So, and this was, you might suspect, according to their generality, I don't know how accurate they are here, but we have Josiah was between 640 and 608, so you subtract those and you can see pretty well how much time. 621 from 640, well, you would subtract also from that 13 years from that too. But anyway, around 100 years there are difference between the two. But God would be merciful, see, if they would just turn. They would just change. And he'd not keep his anger forever. The only thing he wanted them to do was to acknowledge your iniquity, verse 13. To admit they were wrong. Acknowledge thine iniquity. Thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy way into the strangers, every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. And the second thing, first was acknowledged, the second thing was to turn around. The thought is repent there, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you. Now see, in the heart of God, he was still loved them, as a husband would love his wife. I'm still married to you, and I will take you, one out of every city, and two out of every family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now this is yet to be fulfilled. Most of this was fulfilled during the Babylonian conquest. But now these down through here is yet to be fulfilled, because they haven't turned to the Lord, even yet today. And so God is going to eventually fulfill the rest of it and bring them into this place. He said, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You see, this isn't true. Look how Jesus talked to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and called them whited walled sepulchres full of dead man's bones. This isn't the pastors or the shepherds, but God is going to have some. He's going to have a remnant in the last days after the tribulation is over that will feed the people knowledge and understanding. And what is knowledge and understanding? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, because in him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, that they shall say no more the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. They won't even have a desire for it anymore. See, it's lost, it's gone forever. And the Lord Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant for them after they go into the land. Neither shall it be come to mind. They won't even think about it. Neither shall they remember it. Neither shall they visit it. Neither shall that be done anymore. See, all of this will be fulfilled in the Lord. The ninth chapter of Hebrews tells us that, and all of that was just a picture of Christ. At that time shall they call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. It's never had that title. Jesus whipped the money changers out of the temple and he called it the house of God. But it's never been called the throne of the Lord, because God hasn't reigned in that temple. But when Jesus is reigning, see, he'll have a ruler. He'll have a descendant of David reigning on the earth. And we study that in the book of Ezekiel, that there'll be a man of the descendants of David. It won't be Christ himself, but he'll be an honest ruler before them. And they shall call Jerusalem, and all the nations shall be gathered into it. You see, that hasn't been done. It will be the Jews that will evangelize the world. And we've studied that before. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. In other words, there'll be perfect unity between the two. And they shall come together in the land of the north, out of the land of the north, to the land that I have given them for an inheritance to the Father. But I say, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee pleasant land and a heritage of the host of the nation? And I said, thou shalt call me my Father. This is what he wants. This is what he wants us to do. This is the desire of God's heart. And Paul says that we were calling him Abba Father. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. The voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way and have forgotten the Lord their God. Then the cry to return again. See, God hasn't changed his mind. Return, you backsliding children. I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we have come to thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Oh, what an attitude. No help anywhere else but in the Lord. Truly in vain is salvation hoped from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Surely in the Lord thy God is salvation for Israel, and in him alone, not in anyone else. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from the youth, their flock and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We will lie down in our shame, the complete humility and humbleness, and our confusion covereth us. We have sinned against the Lord God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And so God wants them to repent. God wants them to turn unto him wholeheartedly, and he'll bless them. Now this is going to take place, but they're going to go through a lot of tribulation first before it does.